League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to another audio WTF1 podcast. I'm Katie and I'm joined by Tommy. And before we get into this, I'd just like to give a little shout out to Chris Hammersley, who DM'd me on Instagram the other day and said, "Hi, I love the audio podcast, but can I give one bit of feedback? You should say, when you say audio only, I think it's a limitation. You should call it an audio exclusive podcast," which I really like the sound of because it makes us sound like, well, posh. So this is now an audio exclusive podcast. And today we're going to be talking about the Australian Grand Prix quali because, my goodness, that was definitely worth getting up for us European fans. Tommy, what were your thoughts on Aussie quali?
Yeah, it was a good one, really eventful. The whole weekend just seemed really eventful with obviously Scooter Seb and DRS zones being dropped and, well, there being four DRS zones that was made such a thing of and now there's not. And then the drama of quali as well, you know, red flags. And yeah, should make for an interesting race as well.
I really hope that, yeah, all the excitement and crazy things that have happened throughout yesterday and today also follow through to Sunday and it isn't just a real boring race, but hopefully with the track changes and, as you say, like, there's just been so much going on that it will be a good race. But let's talk first about Charles Leclerc, our pole man. There were some doubts because he was actually brought up to the steward's office for potentially going too slow on one of the laps, but it's been all kicked out and dismissed now. But were you surprised at Leclerc pole? Did you think it was going to be an easy win? What were your thoughts going into quali?
I'm not surprised at Leclerc pole. It seems, I mean, we put it in our prediction. I think we all picked Leclerc Verstappen 1-2 in our prediction. So I saw it coming. Maybe the margin was a bit surprising, but it does feel like maybe Red Bull sets them, from what we've seen from the first two races, maybe Red Bull sets themselves up a bit more for the race and maybe have a bit better race pace than Ferrari. Was evident in the last two races. Obviously, Verstappen ended up having the failure in the first one, but the way Verstappen, you know, we saw in FP1, I think it was an FP2, someone plotted where they were fastest. And it's always the same. Leclerc in the corners, Verstappen on the straight. So that's going to make for another fascinating race. But I did see Leclerc doing it because it looks like Ferrari just that bit better in quali trim at the moment.
It's a very good point. And this is a circuit that's previously suited Ferrari quite well. And obviously Ferrari are on an absolute roll at the moment. So yeah, it kind of seems somewhat inevitable. But saying that, we certainly had a few candidates for pole, including obviously the likes of Verstappen. Sergio Perez continuing on with his quali form that he had in Saudi Arabia. Like, wow, I wasn't sure if Saudi was a one-off or what's going on, but clearly he's found something new to put on his breakfast because he was doing things out there.
You love that. You love that breakfast analogy. Yeah, I think Perez is probably been one of the biggest surprises of the year in terms of his quali so far. I know it's only three races and obviously one of them being the fact that he got pole. And then the other one, it did look like he was genuinely on Verstappen's pace and he was struggling. Obviously Verstappen did get the better of him in the end, but yeah, Sergio's definitely picked up his qualifying, which was his biggest weakness, no doubt, last year. You know, it's not hating on him. It's not anything like that. I mean, he is just fact. Like, he did have a poor qualifying. He never beat Verstappen other than it was Imola, wasn't it? Second race last year. And he's definitely a lot closer. So yeah, good luck from Perez, but it did just feel like it wasn't to be for him because he went 1,000th slower than Verstappen. And then when Leclerc went fastest, he went 1,000th slower than him. I can't say thousandth very well, as you can tell. stumble my words when I say it.
Tommy's been on the booze. He hasn't asked the trick, but yeah. it was certainly a very close qualifying. And one chap who I thought he could have done something special today, and we'll probably talk about it a bit later on in the podcast, but Fernando Alonso, I mean, I'm still mourning. Like, I'm really sad at that, because that could have been pure magic. That was like Verstappen in Saudi last year kind of vibes of like the what if. Crying. People can't see you, but you've got tears in your eyes at the moment. And
genuinely, I'm glad I wasn't on the watch along, because I would have been inconsolable. Honestly, I was absolutely gutted. The good thing is he it shows that Alpine does have pace, and we know what Alonso can do in a car that's not, you know, amazing. It's obviously a good car this year, but it's certainly not Ferrari and Red Bull. But Alonso's shown throughout his career that he can pull an absolute average car to unbelievable positions, and apparently still do it in his 40s, which is just unbelievable. He is 40 now, isn't he? Before I get that wrong, I need to double check.
He's still 21 at heart, I think. But yeah, Adrian, I think he's like 40, 41 maybe.
He is 40. Yeah, exactly 40. Okay, so I was right. Unbelievable performance from Alonso. And I will admit, because I noticed Matt did this on the quali watch along as well, I was exactly the same when immediately he went off and went hydraulics. I was like, I do believe you, but part of me also goes, this is Fernando Alonso and he doesn't like to admit fault, because no racing driver does. They're fully confident in themselves, but it was actually hydraulics, which makes it even more painful, because we could have seen that lap. He was purple in sector two by 2.5 tenths, I think it was. So it was genuinely an absolutely unreal lap. Whether it'd have got pole, I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest. Obviously, he's going to say he's going to be. But there's no doubt that I think he probably would have been P4, maybe even P3. What a performance. I mean, I just hope that we don't look back on that and go, oh, that was a chance for Alonso to really do something special there, and it happens again without the failures, because that'd be great to see.
It really would, yeah. Brutal time to be a Fernando Alonso fan, but hopefully from P10 he can maybe do something crazy. I don't know, get past a few cars before. I'm sure there'll be an inevitable safety car. But yeah, let's go through the top 10 quickly before we dive into anything else. So Leclerc, P1, as we mentioned, then Verstappen, Perez, Lando Norris putting in a cheeky P4, which we'll go into as well, because that's a fantastic result from him. Hamilton in P5, which is also good considering how the Mercedes have recently looked, with George Russell just behind him in P6. Home hero Danny Ric was in P7, Ocon P8, Sainz in P9, and Fernando Alonso P10. Right, let's talk about Carlos Sainz, because that was one angry man. He was not happy after qualifying, as you would expect, because he was looking so promising throughout this whole weekend. I don't want to jinx it or add anything like this, but lots of fans had suggested, and I think even it was one of our fan predictions, that Australia could be the place that Sainz finally, something crazy happened and he got that maiden win. And then he got P9 in qualifying through no fault of his own. He said everything that went wrong, anything that could have gone wrong, went wrong. And the only thing that was going to sort of cure this depression that he had was a good night's sleep. So hopefully for you, Carlos, you get your beauty rest and all that kind of stuff, and you come back tomorrow stronger. But yeah, what an absolute shocker for him.
Yeah, I personally don't think he would have beaten Leclerc. Maybe he would have put it in behind Leclerc on the front row, because obviously he had that other chance, but I think you wrote something about it. Did he have like warm-up issues or something? Did he say he couldn't warm the car up properly or didn't have enough time or something?
Yeah, so he had a problem. They had a problem with the starters. They couldn't start the car. So then they had to go out 3 minutes later than when they were originally planning to. And then he couldn't prepare the tyres and warm them up very well. So, yeah, basically going out with freezing cold tyres and then even before that, he lost his chance at a really good lap when the red flag was shown. So
the tiniest margin. It must have been about 3 seconds, and Leclerc just got his lap in, which, if there's ever a sign, I'm sure Matt will be saying that's just proof that it's Leclerc's, you know, potentially Leclerc's year, that when you're, you know, he's obviously driving extremely well, but, you know, when those little decisions go away that are really pivotal in a world championship, Leclerc just made it across the line and got that thing. But yeah, Sainz made a mistake, didn't he, in the chicane that I saw, which
I think he probably made the mistake because his tyres were so cold.
Yeah,
I imagine
yeah.
that's why. Yeah, but
yeah, so
I guess he
is
lucky it's a mistake.
Unlucky, but also, yeah, not great. But I mean, it provides some entertainment because he's going to have a very quick car in the midfield, because I think I feel like it was in the last podcast, someone asked us, in the Saudi one, saying like, we've not seen a car like absolutely breeze through the field yet. And we said, we'll wait till, you know, someone like Sainz or whatever has a bad quali. And there you go. We jinxed him.
Oh no. We're going to have to stop these podcasts. We're just jinxing everyone at this rate. But yeah, really unfortunate for poor Carlos. And like you say, I'll be excited to see how he can make his way through the field, because we saw it, was the race last year? I want to say something like Russia, but I think that was Leclerc that stayed at the back. But there was definitely a Grand Prix last year where he started further back and he sort of made his way through the field and he won driver of the day for it. And I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was, but that
a few
definitely
times
happened
last year.
Yeah, I don't think I've
Turkey.
Made that up. Oh, it could be Turkey, actually.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
I think Turkey. Yeah, I think it was Turkey.
Yeah. We'll say Turkey. I'm sure people will be quick enough to tell us on social media if we're wrong. And what else do we have going on? Oh, Stroll versus Latifi, Tommy. The battle of the Canadians. And what a, can I say it? Cock up? Can I
yes.
say that? Will I get us demonetized? Who knows? But yeah, what a mess from those two. Kind of a bit of a blaming match initially, which, once again, welcome to being a racing driver. Blame anyone but yourself.
I just watched that Stroll interview because I missed it after. And he didn't even convince himself. Where it's like, there was the track like slopes down and that's why I crashed into him or something. It was like, okay, mate.
Yeah.
Okay.
You keep telling yourself that.
I said it in the last podcast that Stroll lacks awareness, and it was weird that Latifi obviously let him through and then repassed him, but the fact that Stroll backed off, Latifi obviously just thought, well, you're going crazy slow, I'll go past. And it is a bit of a misunderstanding, but Stroll, you know, really did turn. The weirdest thing about this is when you look at the onboard, obviously I've had a bit of not beef with Stroll, but mentioned that I personally don't think a lot of the incidents he's involved in, he is blameless in, and a lot of them are not 100% his fault, but he's turning into a corner like someone isn't there, and you have to put a bit of blame on him for that. And then obviously just taking himself out of the race and the other person's getting a penalty, but then he's just damaging his own race. This one, you could see him looking in his right mirror, so I don't understand. So surely he saw Latifi. I mean, we'll never know. The drivers have said so many times that mirrors are, it is difficult to see in your mirrors in a Formula One car, and it will be nothing like our road cars. However, you can see him staring.
Check your blind spot, Lance.
Yeah, you can see him staring in that right mirror the whole time. And then Latifi comes in, and then maybe that was the bit of mysterious track that rolls down slightly that's sort of taken him into Latifi. Who knows? But yeah, it very much looked like from the interview, it was him really sort of trying to cover his back and not just say, to be honest, guys, I messed up, my bad, misjudged it. I think it was, even if he'd said it was a 50-50, which I think Latifi wasn't entirely blameless, but I think the correct decision has been made by the stewards personally.
Yeah, I think you're right. And obviously watching it, they kind of cut to it live, whether that was accidentally or initially. And it looked so bad because it just went from like, da-da-da, going around the track to, jam, like the TV's in the wall.
The TV's crashed again. Oh, God. What's happened?
Yeah. but I've got to tell you this little bit of chat that he's had with some of the media afterwards, because when I read it, it did break my heart a little bit, but I am a sensitive soul, so maybe I'm just a wimp. So he said, I will get there. Oh yeah, so it's unfortunate after the Saudi crashes is what the journalist Scott Mitchell from The Race said. And Latifi replied, that was always the goal this weekend, to have a clean weekend and minimize or limit any mistakes from my side. And then, yeah, basically just saying it's a real, inter rude word here, thing, for lack of a better word. But yeah, poor guy. Like, imagine showing up to an F1 weekend to be like, right, the only goal this weekend is to not bin it. Oh God, Stroll's just punted me.
Even if
I cannot believe it.
Was he admitting blame to himself then? I think he was just saying, I can't believe this happened.
Yeah, they said, yes, there are things like this that can always happen in racing, like incidents. But for something like this to happen in a cool down lap is extremely disappointing. And then, yeah, basically said, it's clear that Stroll didn't know I was there. Otherwise, no driver would turn in for sure. He did not see me there. He wasn't looking in his mirrors. We were both on cool down laps, but you still have to be aware of your surroundings at all times. But I'm not, you know, going to sit here and say Stroll was completely innocent and, you know, he's looking in his mirrors, but drivers have complained about visibility in these new cars. So I wonder if that also played a part in it, but still you've got to maybe think a bit more about your surroundings. You can't just be like, oh, I can't really see in my mirrors very well. I'll just pull over to the right here and hope there's nobody. Oh, no, there's a car there. Oh, God, I just caused a massive crash. That's really bad. And then get all hissy with the TV on the radio. But
yeah, I mean, Aston Martin have had the weekend from hell, really, with all the crashes and incidents and stuff. Been a nightmare for them. But hey-ho. Yeah.
Hey, Lawrence Stroll's five-year plan.
Yeah, at least they fixed Vettel's car in time for him to qualify 17th or whatever he finished. Where did he finish? Dear. 18th.
Yeah, come on, give him. Obviously, you said
18th, which will be 17th because another thing is Albon got disqualified for fuel.
Oh yeah, that also happened.
Aston Martin and Williams are just like nightmare this year, really.
Yeah, I really hope their luck changes.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Albon, you mentioned there his disqualification as well. He didn't have enough fuel to be tested after the qualifying sessions, so was disqualified. Very similar to what we saw with Sebastian Vettel last year in Hungary. But obviously that was in a race and cost him a podium position, whereas this was like, oh, you were going to be at the back and oh, you're still at the back, but you've just been disqualified now. But the stewards have given him permission to race, which I'm sure he's absolutely thrilled about. Yeah, starting from standard. The back in a Williams. Woo, crazy
standard stuff when you get disqualified from quali. I can't remember really an incident where they don't let you race. They have to get permission, don't they? But it's never happened. I mean, it happened to Hamilton, didn't it, in Brazil, most famously. Mm. And, you know, they weren't going to go, no, you know what? We won't let you race.
I know you people can watch from the sidelines.
Yeah, I know people thought they wanted Max to win the title and anti-Hamilton and all that, but I think that would have been a stretch too far for him to just go, actually, no, Lewis, you can't race.
Perfect. Well, let's wrap this up with any kind of final thoughts you've got, Tommy, maybe a star of quali or something similar.
Well, British bias, but I will say Lando Norris playing a very good performance that I would say is very underrated, to be honest. Almost completely not even really mentioned that much that he finished fourth, which is, you know, impressive result. Obviously for me the star of quali was Fernando Alonso, but it wasn't to be. But you know, we've got another 800 races this year, so I'm sure one of them will eventually come up, and I'd love to see him get a pole or just a win this year, please. That's what I want to see.
That's the top of your wish list.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Lando Norris, as you say, completely. Everything was so chaotic after the quali that it kind of got a bit hidden with everything. But he did say it felt like a pole position for him, which was nice. But yeah, thank you so much as ever, Tommy, for joining me for this quick little quali roundup. And we'll be back for the post-race podcast on Monday if you're a Team WTF1 member. And also, if you are not, then what are you doing with your life? But you can also you can also listen to it on Tuesday when it goes on the YouTube or on audio Monday evening. Basically, don't miss it.
You're threatening our viewers to join Team WTF1, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Cool. Thanks for your time, Tommy. And we'll speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.